Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm and at thetrumpet.com as well. Did you know that the world is deceived about God's truth? Even most who consider themselves to be Christians are deceived about what Christ actually taught. Deception has gotten so bad, in fact, that even God's own people that once understood His truth, in many cases now do not. On today's program, let's see what the Bible says about the world being deceived. And in the second half of today's program, we'll look at one area where people are deceived, the truth about when Christ will return. There's a lot of deception about that topic. Let's start by looking at Matthew 24 and verse 3. This section of Scripture is known as the Olivet Prophecy, and this is the most important prophecy Christ delivered while on this earth. So much detail and information that we need to understand here in Matthew 24. Matthew 24 and verse 3, it says this, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of your coming, and of the end of the world, or the end of the age of man, of man's rule?" So Christ's disciples knew that Christ would return. They wanted to know what sign to look for. It's a natural question. But consider for a moment here the fact that Christ gave them the answer. Christ gave them the answer. He told them. Do you know the answer? See, we don't have to guess about this. That's the beauty of looking into these topics. It's not a guess because Christ gave them the answer. And you can notice Christ's answer further down in verses 4 and 5. "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." When it says that many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, that means people are going to talk about the person of Christ. They're going to say that Christ is Christ, and they want to talk a lot about Christ, which is good to talk about Christ, of course, but they're talking about the person of Christ, and they're not talking about what he preached. They're not teaching what he taught. A major sign of Christ's second coming is false religion, especially false Christianity, deceiving many people. This is the first and most important warning Christ gave. They said, when are you going to return? What is going to be the sign? And he said, take heed that no man deceive you. Because a lot of people are going to say, come and say Christ is Christ. But they're not going to teach what Christ taught. Mr. Fleury writes this in his booklet, The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. And this is a really important booklet that you can get at thetrumpet.com. It's for free and you can get it there right now. Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. Mr. Fleury writes this. This is the first horseman of the apocalypse. It is not just about deception from false non-Christian religions. People are going to be deceived about Christ and his message, about what true Christianity really is. And it gets so bad that Christ's own disciples are deceived. So this even goes beyond false Christianity. The first horseman will also deceive God's chosen people. This is serious, serious deception. It's not just talking, of course, as mentioned there, about, say, a non-Christian religion. It's talking about even Christianity, so-called, being a false Christianity. They talk about Christ. It has the name of Christ, but they don't teach what Christ taught. And it's so bad that even people that understood that get deceived and go back to the false Christianity after knowing the truth. That's serious deception. So how do we know Christ's warning in Matthew 24 is the first horseman of the apocalypse? Well, again, you have to let the Bible interpret itself. And we can look at Revelation 6 to see this. Revelation 6, verses 1 and 2. It says, "And I saw when the Lamb," and that's referring to Christ, "opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.'" Extremely dramatic imagery here that John is recording. Verse 2 says, "And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." So we see this white horse here, and the one sitting on the horse has a bow, and it goes forth conquering and to conquer. So Christ is the one that's revealing this seal. The Lamb's opening this and giving us a picture of something. Is this a picture of Christ? Is that what this horseman is? Or is it a false Christ? Men usually assume that this refers to Jesus Christ, and that is why multiple millions of people are deceived by a false Christianity. It is true. Now notice, it is true that Christ will return to earth on a white horse. And you can see this if you look at Revelation 19, 11 through 16. "And I saw heaven opened," it says, "and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords." Now that's a picture of Christ returning. Powerful image. But notice carefully, Christ has a sword, not a bow. "Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword," it says. The man on the white horse in Revelation 6, like the other three horsemen of the apocalypse, brings great suffering upon the earth, conquering and to conquer. But here, in Revelation 19, Christ brings abundant peace and joy after, of course, he has to put down the rebellion. There's going to be rebellion that Christ will have to stop. But then peace and joy breaks out. See, Christ brings peace and joy with him, and he has a sword. But this other white horse, the man on that horse, has a bow. That's the first horseman of the apocalypse. It's false religion. Christ said, "Look, take heed that no man deceive you." What's deceptive? Would it be more deceptive to have some religion that has nothing to do with Christ and doesn't mention him or have anything to do with any of the ideas that you might see in the Bible? Would that be very deceptive? Probably not, because it's so different. But what about religion that looks like Christ's religion, talks about Christ, gets into some of maybe of the teachings on a surface level? What about that? Would that be deceptive? That would be extremely deceptive. I mean, just even looking at these two different verses in Revelation 19 and then in Revelation 6, we can see how closely related those images are, right? They're both white horses. So it'd be easy to just kind of look casually and think, "Oh, that's both of those are Christ." Well, no. Pay attention to the details. Christ has a sword. The white horseman from Revelation 6, he has a bow. He has a bow. There's a lot of differences to notice, but you have to pay attention to the details. These are Christ's own words warning us. And this is his strongest warning to us. And even most of God's people, though, take it lightly and are deceived. If we take God's warning, Christ's warning, lightly, we'll be deceived. Christ said, "Take heed that no man deceive you." And of course, he was speaking directly to his disciples at that time. This tragedy of deception, it has been unfolding for almost 2,000 years. But see here, right at the end, right before Christ returns, it gets hundreds of times worse. The deception is even worse today. And it all happens because people are being deceived by the first horseman of the apocalypse. I mean, just look at your news coverage today. It's being talked about on the Trumpet Daily Radio Show quite a bit. I mean, deception. There's so much deception out there, whether it's on a secular topic, and certainly if it's a religious topic. So much deception today. People can't agree on anything. There is so much deception that is out there. Christ warned us, take heed, that no man deceive you. There are many, many false teachers and deceivers in the world. Notice this in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 13. And this gives us more depth of understanding about this false religion that is out there. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 13, it says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed into ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." So look, again, a counterfeit. It looks good on the surface. It looks like it's right. But it's not teaching the word of God. False apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Many, many false deceivers that say, "Well, I'm a teacher for Christ," but they don't teach what Christ taught. That's where the distinction is. They're not teaching what Christ taught, and they're not doing his work, and they're not supporting it. And so there's many layers of deception there. Of course, there's big global religions that are very deceptive. And then even God's own people are being deceived by different degrees of deception, different levels of deception that we have seen very strongly over the last 30 years. Let's notice one more scripture that should really shock people. I mean, this should really be a shocker to people, especially if this is sort of a new topic for you. Revelation 12 and verse 9. Notice this one. "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world." Notice that. He deceives the whole world. "He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him," or his demons. Think about that. It deceives the whole world. How many people in the world are part of what they would consider a Christian church? There's billions, aren't there? But Revelation 12:9 says, Satan deceives the whole world. And when you look at what we just read there in Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians 11, about being false apostles of Christ and Satan transforming himself into an angel of light. Yeah, it looks really good on the surface. To the casual observer, things look really good. But they're not teaching Christ's message. They're false teachers. The reason... Now notice this, the reason the deception is stronger today than ever before is because of what we just read in Revelation 12 and verse 9. Satan and his demons are cast down to this earth. Remember, Satan transforms himself into that angel of light. His ministers seem very righteous. They seem to have a lot of love and concern, say a lot of nice things, but they do not teach the truth of God out of the Bible. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 13 says this about our time today and about deception. It says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." There's been deception around for years, of course. When Christ warned his disciples, there was deception. But it's getting worse and worse as we get closer to Christ's return. And then when you factor in Satan and his demons being cast down in Revelation 12 and verse 9, deceiving the whole world, you can see why the deception is so bad. Haven't you seen that? Just in the news? Just with social changes? Hasn't deception gotten worse and worse? Isn't it hard to make heads or tails out of, you know, what's truth and what's lies when it comes to a lot of media reporting? Maybe after a little investigation, it's not as hard, but I mean just on the surface? Sure it is. Sure it is. You see that sometimes where a show will go out and they'll interview people on the street for sort of a comedy routine, and they'll ask them questions about something that hasn't happened yet and get their opinion on it, and they'll give you this really big opinion on it, And it's something that didn't even happen, like a presidential debate from a few years ago. I remember that. They do that sometimes. And people would just say, obviously, whatever they kind of thought, you know, their peer group would think, or, you know, whatever the media had said. They had already formed an entire opinion and spoke very confidently about an event that hadn't even happened yet. I mean, it's deception. People are being deceived into thinking certain ways, not based on fact, based on mood, emotion, attitude. Deception is waxing worse and worse. We have to be aware, very aware, of the attempts to deceive us. We have to be aware of deception. We have to really be into the Bible. Christ warned his own disciples to beware of being deceived. The whole world is deceived, and now Satan and his demons are working to deceive God's own people. And the deception is getting worse and worse in the world as well. And they've been very successful, Satan has, in deceiving many of God's people. Now, there's a great book at thetrumpet.com. The name of it is Malachi's Message, and it gives you insight into how that happened. Also, Raising the Ruins, that's another great book, both of those at thetrumpet.com, about how successful Satan and his demons have been at deceiving even God's own people. Very deceptive time. We have to be very aware of deception. We are going to take a quick break now, and when we come back, we're going to look at how people are deceived about Christ's imminent return. That's coming up next right here on Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG.
Revelation 6 stands out as an important chapter because of how it locks in with another one of Jesus Christ's prophecies. The glorified Christ revealed these future events to John in Revelation 6, and it was Jesus Christ as a human being, God in the flesh, who prophesied these same events in Matthew 24, the same Christ. In the traditional Christian world, we hear a lot about Christ as our sacrifice, our Savior. But how about Jesus Christ the prophet? That's exactly what he was. His gospel and his whole message revolved around prophecy. So to know Christ means to know about the prophecies he spoke in Revelation and in Matthew. This free booklet, The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, shows that what Christ prophesied in Matthew 24 is primarily for the end time. For more than five decades, Herbert W. Armstrong declared a powerful and consistent warning about the dramatic fulfillment of end time prophecy. Using the Bible as his guide, Mr. Armstrong made bold predictions about the course of world events long before they occurred. He was right, encapsulates what he boldly proclaimed for more than 50 years. This free booklet will build your faith in the certainty of biblical prophecy. Request He Was Right and The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. Both booklets are offered free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. To learn more, please visit thetrumpet.com.
This is Live by Every Word.
Welcome back to Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG. In the first half of today's program, we looked at Christ's warning about religious deception. This false Christianity is the first horseman of the apocalypse. And it looks a lot like true Christianity on a surface level, you know, as we talked about. You know, white horse. Christ returns on a white horse, but Christ has a sword. First horseman of the apocalypse has a bow. It's different. False Christianity has a false teaching about Christ's return as well. And maybe you've heard preachers say at some point that the Lord may come tonight. Is it true the second coming of Jesus Christ could occur at any minute? I mean, are we on pins and needles waiting? Could it be, you know, before this program ends? When is Christ going to return? Or is it way far, far away? You know, or somewhere in the middle? What's the answer to this? Well, what did Christ say about it? Let's look at Luke 21 and verse 8 and get the Bible teaching on Christ's return. Luke 21 and verse 8, it says, "And he said," Christ, take heed that you be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I, Christ, am Christ, teaching about the person of Christ. And he continues, the time draws near. Go you not therefore after them. So they're going to say, I am Christ, or Christ is Christ, and the time draws near. No, you know, he's coming any second now. According to the original Greek in which the New Testament was written, the false message of those claiming to be the ministers of Christ is this: the time has come near, or the time is at hand. The Revised Standard Version. In other words, Christ might come tonight. That's what some people would teach or believe. There's a rapture theory out there that some people believe in, that they think that, but you know, you're going to get just raptured right off the earth any given moment. Well, what about that? Could Christ return at any moment? Is that what the Bible says? Well, here's the thing. The Bible teaches that there is a definite sequence of events which must occur first. Study carefully all of Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. These chapters clearly reveal that specific events must occur before Christ returns. Now, don't take this the wrong way. Christ's return is near at hand. But there is a sequence of events that you have to watch for. And until those events begin to unfold, he's not going to just show up and set up God's kingdom. There is a sequence of events that we have to watch for, and that's what Christ told his disciples to do. Luke 21 and verse 9, it says, but when you shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And verse 11, and great earthquakes shall be in different places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. Now notice that the King James English of 1611, which this is coming from, is not at all clear in verse 9. Instead of by and by, the original Greek phrase is better translated immediately. Parallel accounts in Matthew 24 and verse 6 and Mark 13 and verse 7 correctly read, the end is not yet. So hopefully that makes that a little more clear. But notice what Christ said to look for. Christ gives us a sequence of events to pay attention to. Luke 21 and verse 29. And he spoke to them a parable. He said, behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise you, when you see these things come to pass, know you that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. So when you see this sequence of events beginning to unfold, know that the kingdom of God is near. Once the terrible events Jesus enumerated in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21 begin to accelerate, or when any of them are fulfilled, they will all be completed in the lifetime of one generation. There's a sequence of events that have to unfold and accelerate. Again, remember, the first horseman of the apocalypse, religious deception. There's been religious deception around for many years, but it accelerates. It accelerates as we get closer to Christ's return. There is a parallel to the widespread lack of understanding of prophetic events culminating in the return of Jesus Christ. So when Christ was on this earth the first time, there was a parallel to what we see now. The Jews at the time of his first coming also lacked understanding and therefore did not fully recognize or accept Christ as the prophesied Messiah. So when Christ came the first time, of course, a lot of people didn't believe that he was Christ. I mean, even though he had so many miracles. And a lot of the religious people of his day knew the Bible. They knew, to some extent, the prophecies about his first coming, but they had some misunderstandings about it as well. Jesus told the religious leaders of his day that the signs accompanying his ministry should have been proof enough that he was the prophesied Christ. The Old Testament prophecies, with which they were thoroughly familiar, had foretold the exact time and manner of his appearance on earth. So the religious leaders of Christ's day, they knew the scriptures. It did prophesy of Christ and what he would do, but yet they didn't accept him when he came. They refused to believe him. Notice Matthew 16, verses 1 through 4. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. Which, you know, you think about how many signs Christ showed just in his ministry, how many miracles that he worked using the power of God's Spirit. That should have been sign enough. Verse 2 here in Matthew 16, it said, "He answered and said unto them, When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red." And verse 3, "And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering." He said, "Oh, you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times?" He said, look, you know how to read the sky. You have a pretty good idea of what the weather's going to be. And we know that today, right? I mean, the weather forecasters are pretty good. They're not perfect, but I mean, for the most part, they get it in the ballpark of what the weather's going to be. They can tell us what the weather's going to be. They can read the signs of the sky. But Christ said, look, to the people of his day, the religious leaders, can you not read the signs of the times? You know, here Christ was right in front of them, the first coming, and they couldn't read the signs of the times. They should have been able to. It was in the Bible. It was prophesied in the Old Testament, but they couldn't understand it, or they refused to understand it in most cases. Some of them, of course, knew a fair bit more than they admitted, and Christ told them that obviously they were going to be held accountable for what they did know. But then here in verse 4 of Matthew 16, it says, "A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them, and he departed." So the religious leaders of Christ's day didn't understand the signs of the times. Yet they had been taught the Messiah was to come, for that very message was repeated in nearly every book of the Old Testament. In verse 3, Jesus showed them that they could understand if they really wanted to. Now, they didn't really want to. They closed their minds to it. They were concerned, obviously, about their own status in society. They wanted a powerful Christ to come and restore the kingdom of God, and I suppose in their minds they thought they'd be put in some high positions. But Christ came not that way the first time. He came to be a sacrifice. And he also condemned their religion because it was hypocritical. Because they weren't really following God's law. They were doing their own thing. And, of course, they didn't like that. So their attitude was negative and they wouldn't accept Christ when he came. They wouldn't accept the message. There were signs. And so atheists and agnostics scoff at the biblical record of Jonah and the whale, but this is the sign that Jesus gave the Pharisees, that he would be in his grave for the same length of time Jonah was in the great fish. And this was to be the special sign to his generation that he really was the prophesied Christ. He gave them that sign. And that sign came to pass. You can read that in Matthew 27, verses 57 through 66, and 28, 1 through 6. That's Matthew 27, 57 through 66, and 28, 1 through 6, and especially verse 6 there. And that gives you the historical account of Christ being risen. He was in the grave just like Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. Two women came to see the tomb where Christ had been laid, and when they arrived, they found it empty, and they were told that Christ had risen as he said. After those 3 days and three nights, the sign that Christ gave them had come to pass. They couldn't read the signs of the time, so he said, look, I'll give you another sign. And he gave them one, and it was of Jonah, and of course that Christ would be risen. Jesus proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that he was the prophesied Messiah and Savior of mankind. And yet, did the people believe? Most didn't. Even after that, most didn't, but of course, those that God was calling, they did believe that sign, and they still do today. So what about us today? Back to our time. Will we heed Christ's warning about religious deception and make sure we are studying God's word and striving to live by it. Christ gave us signs of his second coming. And the first one that he gave was that of religious deception. Will we believe that and really look and say, okay, am I looking at what the Bible says? Does what I believe square up with the Bible? Is it every word of God? Or is it a false Christianity? Is it a false religion? The Bible's there. Everyone's got one in their home, probably multiple copies. You can, online, there's lots of copies too. The Bible's available. Are we living by it? Are we really understanding it? Are we heeding what Christ said to his disciples? Will we believe Christ's prophecy about the sequence of events to look for that indicate his second coming? And that's what we have to be paying attention to. Revelation 12, verse 9 shows us that the whole world is deceived. The whole world is deceived. So that sounds pretty hopeless, right? The whole world? Well, there's just a few that aren't. Notice this. Daniel 12 and verse 10. Daniel 12 and verse 10. Part of the verse there, it says, "And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." The wise shall understand. So if we're wise, the promise is that we can understand these prophecies. We can understand this time sequence of events leading up to Christ's return. We don't have to be deceived like the whole world is. And that's why the religious leaders of Christ's day didn't understand, because as it says, none of the wicked shall understand. They weren't living correctly. They weren't being wise. So there is hope. We can understand the word of God, but we have to be wise. We can't be wicked. And of course, we're all striving to grow and overcome and conquer Satan and self and society. Nobody's perfect, but obviously there is a difference between just completely going the wrong direction and really striving to change and to live by every word of God. Very fascinating subject to look into, the deception of the whole world, and what Christ taught about his second coming. Most people are deceived on it. There's no need to be. We can continue to look at these scriptures and understand it more deeply. And again, make sure you get the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. That really explains a lot of this, a lot of these signs that you can look forward to and see happening even today that show that the Christ return is soon, and you can understand the signs of the times. Get the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. That's free. It's at thetrumpet.com. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.